Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Well, good morning, everybody. It's a great morning, and it's really my privilege to have my two sisters here today. Just wanted to have Lori and Carrie stand up for a second. Why don't you guys just wave at them? My two sisters there. I think it's the first time that I can remember in all the years that I've been in ministry that you guys have been together here to you know, be at our church. So very cool to have you. I would ask that none of you ask them any questions about me. Because everything that they say about me will probably not be true. Just want to put that out there, okay? Hey, one other thing I wanted to say before we get started, I'm leading a group that I haven't done for a while. I'm really excited about it. It's called DYP, Discovering Your Pathway, and that's going to be the life group I'm going to be leading. That'll be on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the church offices, and it's really about kind of getting back to the fundamentals of our faith. It's about Pacific Life Church, who we are, what we believe, our mission, how you can be involved, and all kinds of things. And I love leading this group because it really is a chance for me to get to know people and for us to get to know each other. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just go online and sign up, or you can see me if you'd like to sign up as well. Well, long, long time ago, I was a youth pastor. And I was a youth pastor for actually many, many years. And I remember if you've ever been in a youth group or you've been a youth pastor or something like that, there's certain topics that you touch on a lot, because you're dealing with that group, and that's kind of where they live. And one of those topics is sex. So, you know, the sex talk from the Bible. And I remember I was a really, really young guy when I first started being a youth pastor. In fact, I wasn't much older than the students I was leading. And I remember how terrified that I was. In fact, I saw this book. I thought it was such a great topic. It says, A Chicken's Guide to Talking Turkey with Your Kids About Sex. And I thought, perfect, perfect, you know. And then, of course, I became a lead pastor, and then I still have the sex talk from the Bible, and I've had that all these years later. So, you know, that the last time that I gave one to the teens was in the early 90s, and can we all agree that a lot has changed since the early 90s, especially in regards to the topic of sex? And one of the biggest changes is really how people view sex, but I'm just not talking about any people. I'm talking about how even people in the church view sex. So as the culture has changed its view on sex, so has the church. And if I'm being really honest, I got to tell you, let me take you into my world a little bit. This whole week, knowing what I'm going to be talking about, it has been weird for me. Because it's not a safe room anymore. It's not a safe, we're not all on the same page anymore. Because the culture has changed, the church God has not changed his view on it, but a lot of people have. And so, and I can feel it, man. I can feel it. Anytime I touch on this subject, you know, you've got varying opinions and very strong opinions about these kind of things. So I'm just going to start right from the get-go, from the basics. So may we all remember that God invented sex. And he thinks it's wonderful. And it is wonderful. And he has a wonderful plan for it. But the problem is that apart from God's plan, we have our plan. And a lot of time, our plan is not his plan. We just kind of, we think it is wonderful, and so we take it and express it however we're going to express it. And of course, today, in 2002, people are expressing it in all kinds of creative ways. Much of it is outside the plan of God. So what is God's plan for sex? Well, here's the short version of it, okay? The short version is God's plan for sex is that it would be enjoyed by a man and a woman in a covenant relationship called marriage. Now, there was a day that you would say that in a church and people would go, yeah. But today it's like, whoa, brother. Where are you going there, man? Don't you know this is 2022? Don't you know that the culture has changed? And, here's the thing. The culture is always changing. You say, so the Bible's not really in touch with the culture. Thank God. Thank God. Because God, he never changes. Culture does all the time. And I'm not talking about the best parts of culture. I'm not talking about the technological advances that we've made and all the good things of culture. We can all agree there's a lot of beautiful things that have happened through the years, and we're making advancements in medicine and education and all kinds of beautiful things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the human soul has not changed since the beginning of time. And this is really much a part about that. So having said that, I realize that sex is powerful, but it's complicated, and that many people fall short of the ideal that God has. And so here's what I want to say. Wherever you find yourself on the sexual landscape of your life, okay, maybe you're not meeting the ideal that I just expressed, but there's a lot of us in different areas of our life that don't meet up to the ideal in other areas of our life. So this is not, in no way, it's not, we're not judging, we're not condemning, we're just talking about what God says in his word, which is the very, very, very best for our life. I also want to point out, and I think it's important I say this, and I can say this with a lot of authority because I have been in the church literally almost all of my life, that the church has been very, very hard on sexual sins. In fact, the church has been so judgmental, they've just pretty much demonized sexual sins as the worst sins, and they forgot some of the other sins, like gossip, and like pride and greed and envy and some of the other ones. So on God's scale of sin, sin is just sin, okay? So I want you to understand that. So the problem we face today is that many people, even people as they approach the Bible, kind of approach it, or as they look at the Bible, kind of approach it what I call the Thomas Jefferson approach. Thomas Jefferson, of course, one of the founding fathers of our country, wrote a lot of the Constitution, and he really liked the Bible, but he didn't like all of the Bible. And so Thomas Jefferson was known for taking the parts of the Bible that he didn't like, and he would just take his scissors, and he would just cut those scriptures out. How convenient. I mean, think about it. If we could just all take erase those parts of the Bible that we don't want, I could think of a few right here. The part that says, love your enemy. Really, God? I would just like go, ch-ch-ch-ch. I don't want to love my enemy. They're my enemy. Or how about this one, not coveting? Like, oh, come on, God, you know, I want that house, and it's their house, I know, but I want that house. Or how about gluttony? Really? I can't eat anything I want, anytime I want? How about drunkenness? Oh, come on, just once in a while, God. I mean, we just cut those parts of the scriptures out, right? But it doesn't work that way. So we're in a series right now, it's called Can We Fix It? And we started in the book of Acts about how the church came about, and now we're talking about the problems of the church. And so we discovered that in the first century church, and we're in a church called Corinth, in the city of Corinth, and the Apostle Paul established this church, and he leaves for a while, and he comes back, or actually he gets a letter, and he finds out that things are really, really going badly in the church. That was 2,000 years ago. We discovered today in our churches we're having the same problems that they had 2,000 years ago. So last week, we talked about the fact that people inside this church, and these are young believers, and they're kind of learning their way, they're suing each other, and they're actually dragging each other into secular courts, as Paul would say, and he would say, how dare you? What are you doing, your brothers and sisters in Christ, suing each other? So that was last week's problem. Then Paul, in his letter, he moves on to the next problem. Now, it's going to be about their sexual behavior. And I was thinking, okay, I'm sort of stepped back from myself, and I thought, I was thinking about our culture and our world and how everybody views sex. And I was thinking, if people could ask God one question, believer or even not a believer, and say, what would that question be about in regards to sex? And I thought maybe that question would sound like this. God, what is the big deal about me fulfilling my sexual desires outside of marriage? Like, what is the big deal? So I'm going to try to answer that question the way that Paul answered it, really, and so as the advice that he's giving to these young Corinthian Christians. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have your iPhone or whatever device you have there, why don't you turn with me right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at, we're going to start with verse 12. Okay, and we're going to read 12 through 14 to start with. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. That's true, although someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. So, let's go back to that question. God, what's the big deal about sex outside of the boundaries that you prescribed in your word? Well, first of all, and this is as he's trying to answer these people, we find that he's saying sex is more than an appetite. It's interesting that he's talking to them about a certain logic that they're using to him. They're going, hey, come on, Paul, look it. I have a food appetite. What do you do when you're hungry and you have a food appetite? You eat. I got a sexual appetite. What do you do when you have a sexual appetite? You take care of it. You fulfill your sexual appetite. And that was kind of the logic that they were using to Paul. Now, let's go to the city of Corinth. At that particular time, they lived in a very, very sexualized culture. Way up on a hill in that city was a temple of Aphrodite. Aphrodite was a sex goddess. And there was a lot of people in that community that worshiped that god, and there was 1,000 temple prostitutes in that big temple. And so it was just kind of a common thing to say, well, I'm going to go worship. And so they'd go up there and see the prostitute, and that would be part of the worship, you know, pleasing the gods and themselves and everything else. There was brothels all over the city. It was a hookup city, you know, like PB. There's no other way to say it. This is a hookup community. I've noticed that a lot of reality shows have been done here about young couples and hooking up right here in PB. And so when I look at Corinth 2,000 years ago and I look at PB today, I'm like, yeah, pretty much the same thing. A lot of the same kind of stuff, kind of the same attitudes. Now, Paul is trying to help them because most of these people are no more than 5 years old in their faith. And so they've come out of this culture and like, you know, they're still trying to figure it out. So Paul emphasizes, you know, so one of the things Paul did, and they talked about this, is they said, Paul, you said that we have liberty. You said that when we became Christ followers, that we would have amazing Christian liberty, and we could do anything we want, and we don't have to live under the laws that, you know, that some of the Old Testament laws, and we're free in Christ. And so they took that to an extreme, to say the least, and Paul's going, whoa, 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 you don't understand. When I say you're free, what you're free to do is good. What you're free to do is the good things that God has for you, the beautiful things in life, not the ugly things in life. And remember, Paul said, not everything is good for you. He said, you're free to do what you want, but not everything is beneficial for you. Not everything is good for you. You don't want to become a slave to your appetites. And that could happen. I really, really, really love Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I do. I mean, it's like crack to me. And I don't buy it, because I know if I buy it, it will go fast. And I know that if I really gave into my appetite for Ben and Jerry's ice cream, I mean, like, ate as much as I want, I would be grossly overweight, and I would be super unhealthy. So it's an appetite that I just can't give into. And the same can be said concerning our sexual appetites. Again, we live in a hookup culture, and no doubt there are people all over, you know, Pacific Beach and San Diego at large that are just like, well, I've got a sexual appetite, and I'm just going to do what I need to do to take care of that. And that's one of the reasons that porn is a multi-billion dollar entity. I mean, corporation, I mean, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's completely out of control today. And here's the thing about it. It's ruining marriages. It's ruining people's lives. Have you ever thought about the people that are in that industry? I mean, a lot of times even people that are in it, like, oh, this is kind of cool. But what if it was your daughter that was a porn star? Or your son? How would you feel about it then? There's no other way to say it. It's a sick industry. Now, here's the thing. I realize that if you're here today, or if you're watching us online, I realize that if you are not a Christ follower, you're like, okay, but we don't play by the same rules. You're right about that. If I'm not a Christ follower, like, all right, maybe I'm thinking anything goes, going to live my life on my terms, right? But here's the thing. Even if you are not a Christ follower, I think the Bible has some things to say that are so wise that might be able to help you. So I'm just going to ask you to lean in and listen a little bit, okay? And at least you'll know the perspective that we're coming from. So next time somebody says, this church people are a bunch of, you know, whatever, and the Bible is stupid or whatever, I hope to give you some information that will help you to understand more where we're coming from. Let's read verses 15 through 17. He says, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never! And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says, the two are united into one, which is really interesting. He says it, Jesus said it, Moses said it. There's a theme that runs right through the Bible. There's this unification, there's this powerful thing that happens when the two become one. He says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Several years ago, I saw a gal, I think it was in a surf shop or something like that. She was wearing this t-shirt. She looked to be in her early 20s. And in really large letters, it said, relax, it's only sex. And I thought, wow, what does that say about sex? It's just some sort of a bodily, it's just been reduced down to, yeah, whatever, you know, no big deal. I remember there's a pastor that I like to listen to, and his name is Mark Clark. He's in Sacramento now, and he's a podcaster and written some really great books. And I heard him talking about this a while back. He has a 12-year-old daughter, and his 12-year-old daughter asked him a question. It was a great question. She said to him, Daddy, is sex good? You know, and for every dad who has a daughter, that's that moment you're like, okay, man, I better get this one right. And so Mark Clark says to her, and I think it was such a great answer, he said, honey, sex is really good. It's beautiful. He said, but sex is kind of like fire. If you take fire and you keep it in its proper place, like, you know, in the place where we're going to heat up the home, in the fireplace, in the fire pits, and wherever, you know, fire is going to be a blessing, it's wonderful. But when you take fire outside of its proper boundaries, it can destroy a forest, it can burn down homes, it can destroy things. He said, so sex is beautiful if you keep it where it belongs. I thought that was such a great answer. You might say, well, I kind of like the fire. You know, I mean, I'm all about the fire. Like, I want to follow my heart, and wherever my heart leads me, that's where I want to go. My wife and I, unfortunately, we watched this reality show called The Bachelor. And we've been watching it for years and years and years. It's kind of an entertainment thing we watch. Right now it's not The Bachelor, it's The Bachelorette. And there's two different bachelorettes. And we've watched a bunch of seasons, I think almost since the beginning of the whole thing. And what's going on right now is, you know, down to the final few. And when you get down to the final few, if you've ever watched the show, these gals have to make a choice because they're looking for their husband, right? And so they ask, when they get down to the final four, it's like, will you join me at the fantasy suite? And the fantasy suite is just another name for the hookup place. It's like, you know, basically, there's no other way to say it. I mean, you know, and they talk about it on the show and everything like that. And it doesn't always happen, but a lot of times it does. And so it's and this is kind of that crowd. This is kind of like, oh, I'm going to find my husband. Got to try a few different people out, you know, and then we'll see how that all works. And it's kind of reduced down to that, right? That's kind of the way our culture works. So, you know, I'm gonna sleep around a little bit, you know, find the right person. Oh, they're good. Okay, you know, maybe that'll work. But then there's the other part of it that you even see on the show, and that is all the crying and all of the and all the emotion of it, because what happens, and it actually happened on this last show, is, you know, so one of them sleeps with this guy, and then so the next guy is up, actually she slept with this one guy, and then she's getting ready to be with the next guy, and this guy suddenly has some emotions, and he's like, could you, like, not sleep with the next guy, because I love you. And you know, it's a big old dramatic drama all over the place. But this is a part of the culture. It's where, like, yeah, hook up, baby, it's good. Oh, just walk away from it, no consequences. No, it just doesn't work that way. See, the problem with following our hearts, and the Bible says that our hearts are not reliable. Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah 17:9 said it this way. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Sometimes I can't even understand my own heart. How about you? Have you ever been led astray by your heart? Like, oh man, they're the one. How did that work out for you? You followed your heart, right? But our hearts are twisted. And they don't always lead us to the right place. Peter Crete is a professor of philosophy at Boston College, and he made this statement. He said, sex is the effective religion of our culture. I think he nailed it. Sex is the effective religion of our culture. And this is why I believe that he's right. You can talk, in our culture today, you can talk about a lot of different stuff. You can even talk about restraining or curbing certain kind of behaviors in our culture that are inappropriate or not good, or it's not good for society. You can do all those things, but you can't touch sex. Because somewhere along the way, we took the lid off that one and said, no, that's the untouchable subject. Anybody gets to express themselves any way they want to express it. And as a result of that, we have all of these different categories of sexual behavior today. We have all of these pronouns, and we have all of this confusion. And you know who's really suffering the most because of this? Children. Children. I mean, I hear it all the time. I mean, I know parents that are just ready to, and they're doing it. They're like, I'm getting out of California. This place is crazy. They're going to indoctrinate my kids with some stuff, and they're already kind of confused. Yesterday, Pastor Sarah, who was up here earlier, led a seminar with her husband Tommy. It's called Healthy Sexuality, and she had some books. This one's called Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. This one's called Living in a Gray World. You know, questions that students and children are asking today. And if you weren't able to be there, I would highly recommend that these books are available. They're $10 a piece, Sarah was telling me before the service. Or come talk to Sarah, because she's going to be her and Tommy are going to be doing more of these. And we need this kind of stuff. But guess what? Parents, if you're out there, if you're not teaching your kids about this, guess who is? Everybody else. Everybody else is. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal. I just started about a year ago subscribing to the Wall Street Journal. And I brought it here, and it really caught my attention. I would say most of us could say it's a pretty reputable newspaper. And in it, there was an article called How the Sexual Revolution Has Hurt Women. Like, wow. And it was written by a woman. And I thought, well, I want to read that article. And I read it, and so really, the long and short of it is, she said, the hookup generation, she called it that. She said, the hookup generation hurts women more than it hurts men. And what she was really referring to was the spiritual dynamic of the relationship that women tend to be a little more sensitive to. So I'm quoting her, don't come back at me, okay? She said that when there's a hookup, a lot of men, for whatever reason, can walk away from the hookup a little easier than can a woman. Because for women, her words and her studies, tend to have a little more emotional attachment to it. But she said the way that it's hurting women is women feel like they have to play the game today. So, well, you know, if I'm going to get this guy, then, you know, I got to do that. And then that happens. And maybe the guy is like, yeah, it was fun. See ya. And then there's that. That hurt. That's one of the things the Apostle Paul was talking about. You know, in their society, so going back to Corinth, this was a Greek culture. And in Greek culture, they had a very, very low view of the body. In fact, they called the body the tomb. And their view was, it doesn't matter what you do with your body, it only matters about your soul. And Paul's going, no. It doesn't work that way. Let's read the last couple of verses here, verses 18 and 20 through 20. Run from sexual sin. You know, there's actually a story in the Old Testament about a guy named Joseph that actually did that. It's an amazing story. And because he ran from sin, I mean, literally, a woman tore his clothes off. You read the story. You need to read the Old Testament. You know, if you're new to the Bible, read the Old Testament. It'll blow your mind. But she, like, tears his clothes, and this guy runs out the door, and God rewards him later on. He becomes one of the great, great leaders of Egypt. But anyway, it says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Sexual sin affects the entire personality. God takes a very holistic approach to sex. And again, we tend to just break it down to the physical. He goes, no. It incorporates all of your personality. He's talking about, and then it's interesting language that Paul uses. He calls it the temple. Well, he says, you know what lives in the temple, this in our temple? The Holy Spirit. If you're a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit comes into us. And he says, you don't want to violate that temple, because that's where God resides in you. And so when he says it to us today, we're like, okay, I think we kind of get it. To them, it meant two things. There was another temple. Remember the temple I told you about where all the prostitutes were? And he's trying to make the connection from them. He goes, no. There's one temple, and that's the temple where God, and it lives in you. It's not that one up on the hill where all the prostitutes are. It's right here, baby, in here. God resides in you. So Paul says, run, literally run away from sexual sin because it affects your body. And what you do with your body, Paul basically says, matters. When I was in high school, I was dating this gal for a couple of years, and it just very, very quickly became a sexual relationship. And you know how you try to hide things from your parents? You know, like, mom doesn't know, dad doesn't know. And so one day I came home, and my Bible, who I wasn't really a Christ follower at the time, but my Bible that I did have with my name written in it, was on my bed, just like this, and highlighted by my mother were those words, run from sexual sin, and a few other words in there. That, and it was this very verse we just read, and it was just at that moment, I was just like, oh, she knows. And my mom was a real woman of prayer. And I just wish, because it's like mom, right? Like, oh yeah, I know, mom. I know you say that. I know you're supposed to say that. I just wish I had listened to her. Because that relationship and just even moving forward in my life really complicated a lot of things and a lot of different, like I said, sex affects your entire personality. It does. And there was some baggage, and there were some things that affected me and continued to affect me through the years. I just wish I had listened to mom. So we try to forget our sexual history, but here's the thing. Our history, our sexual history will not forget us, as much as we try to. And all too often, it does show up. It shows up sometimes in a marriage relationship. It shows up in other relationships. It shows up sometimes in depression. It shows up in ways that we're not even sure, like, why do I feel this heaviness? It's going to show up. I've been reading articles lately, and actually for a while now, maybe you've been reading about them too, about the epidemic of STDs that's going on right now. And you're like, well, yeah, that's been around for a while, but no, I'm not talking about 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds. It's happening in retirement communities. People's in their 60s and 70s, it's just rampant right now. I know some of you are like, you get an image in your head and you're like, gross, right? But here's the thing, like, this is why this is happening. Because let's go back to that 60s revolution. Free love, baby. You know, if it feels good, do it. And that's that generation. That's actually my generation. And so, you know, they sowed the wind and they're reaping the whirlwind. They thought it was all good. And so what they're doing, all these years later, look at, they're still a slave to it. They're still out there saying, I'm searching, I'm looking, I'm trying to fill that void, and I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s, I'm still hooking up, you know, only now I have a disease. Here's a novel idea. What if we took the advice of the inventor and designer of sex? What if we said, you know, what if we just kept it in that one relationship, reserved for that one person, and we just turned it into a covenant called marriage? We said, yeah, how sacred would that be? And how much grief would that save us in our life? So here's the good news. God can redeem our past, because this is a good news message. It really is. Because God thinks, he thinks sex is awesome. God can redeem our past. He can forgive us of our sins. He can help us move through our mistakes. And he can give us a beautiful new beginning. You don't have to live in a life of regret. God, in fact, God can't erase the past, but he can give you a beautiful new beginning. And so the question I have for you is this. In light of what you heard today, what's the next step for you? Like, how is God speaking to you right now? What's the next step as you think about today, tomorrow, and your future? And will you allow the Bible to speak into your life about sex? Despite what the culture says, will you be courageous enough to say, I will listen to what the Bible says, despite what the culture says? Let's pray. Jesus, this is something that touches us and affects us so deeply, so profoundly. And the ramifications are huge. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but then sometimes we do. Lord, my prayer is that everybody that has heard this in this room and online would somewhere hear your voice in it and know the truth of it. And if they're enslaved, in bondage, let today be the day that they begin to experience the new freedom, a new way, a new life. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.